This is Palm Sunday. So I'm going to be, you know, with the new school stuff, the core curriculum, and which, hey, I hear both sides. This side tells me this and this side. So I don't know. But I do know one thing. They're all in agreement. There's a lot of homework involved with it. So I'm going to give y'all homework for next Sunday. Not the singing, for next Sunday. I want you to take your Bibles this week. I want you to read from the 12th to the 19th chapter of the book of John. And get prepared for what Brother Edgar is going to bring to you next week. So you read from chapter 12 to chapter 19 in the book of John. And you know, we need to pray for Brother Edgar. Let me tell you, it's a hard job preaching a funeral. But when it's one of your own family members, brothers, it's much harder. So he definitely needs our prayers, and let's be sure and remember him in that this morning as we pray in this evening. And if you have your Bibles with you today, and I hope you do, we're going to be reading out of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the 47th chapter. And it's not a whole lot. When you get there, say amen. My, is that the best y'all can do? Amen. Chapter 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning with such grateful hearts that we have this privilege to be in your house today. Lord, we pray that you take this scripture that was read and these words that will be preached, and God, that they will do nothing but bring glory to your name and to your kingdom. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you read through the Bible a lot and New Testament, you'll hear Jesus on several different occasions that will make the statement, "As I said unto you, as I said unto you." You know what he's saying? He's done told them what he was going to tell them. So probably what I'm going to tell you, you probably already heard. But as I said unto you, I'm just obeying God. I am the mailman. Okay? I want us to look at a word this morning. The word enthusiasm. Boy, that's a great word, isn't it? We hear that, enthusiasm about this, enthusiasm about that. You know, the Greek word for God is theos, from which the word enthusiasm comes from. And enthusiasm is a godly word, man. I mean, when we speak of God, when we speak of Jesus, we need to speak of it with authority and with excitement. And I love somebody that's enthusiastic about what they do. If they're selling vacuum cleaners or whatever, if they're enthusiastic and they go, I admire them. Now, you know, the people that you know, people sitting around you right here this morning, you have got people around you that they can either kickstart your engine and get it fired off, or they can kill your battery. So look over to you, see what you got sitting next to you this morning now. Are we going to kickstart it, or are you going to kill it? I want to speak to you about this word enthusiasm, enthusiastic. And it thought about this several times and tried to figure out, and I come up and I want to make an analogy about being enthusiastic. And the analogy is going to be between being enthusiastic for Jesus, just like you're an enthusiastic sports fan. Hey, we got a great community for sports people here. Boy, we got a great school. They represent us great every year in many different sports and bring about. And boy, we get enthusiastic about it. We can talk about it and run about it. I can't see Andy on Sunday that he's not telling me something about happened with the school, you know, just as enthusiastic as it can be. Well, I want to tell you, if you want to take notes this morning, because as I told you before, evidently you didn't learn it last time, so you might want to write it down this time where you'll remember. We're going to speak about enthusiasm, and we're going to relate it in with the Christians and with the sports fans. If you're ready, here we go. Sports fans arrive early. Man, I want to tell you, we got them. I don't know if you want to call them enthusiastic or whatever, but they arrive early. So, you know, for most of your churches, that kicks out the back three rows. Sports fans, man, some of them is beyond enthusiastic. They go the night before. They pull up these pits for tailgating parties and put up tents. And I've seen them where they've had TVs and these big tents. Man, I've been on some of them and been to some of them where this tent and their tailgating party was bigger than the first house I lived in. They arrive early. They arrive early. And they are enthusiastic about what they're doing and about their team and about this and about that. You notice you don't ever see none of them. And I'm not talking about a spectator now. I'm talking about a fan. You don't see none of them show up in the third quarter. You don't see them coming at halftime, after the music has been played and all else is going about. You don't see them do like that. They show up on time. Do you know that our worship service, that this part here is the only part for you? The preaching part's the only part for you. The rest of it is for the glory of God. But yet I see people every Sunday, and I'll get an amen from Roland on this one, every Sunday come in here and get in here and stand like they got lockjaw. You know? Listen, we are singing praises to our Lord and Savior that died on that cross, that arose from that grave and is coming back again to get us. We need to come in here and be enthusiastic. Well, preacher, I don't like them old songs he picks sometimes. I don't like the way they play that piano. You know, it's just too much. I don't even know that song. It's not for you. You don't do it for me. You don't do it for Roland. It's for God, my friend. We need to come enthusiastic, and we need, when we come into the song service and the praise service, we need to praise God with enthusiasm. We need to open up our mouth, and we need to sing hallelujahs to God, our King. Did I hear something? Hey, yeah, you're live. Okay, thank you. Real fans are always on time. You know, they love the game. They're going to be there and they're going to see it from the front to the back. And guess what? Man, you want to see them get excited? Let it go into overtime. Or let it go into extra innings. My God, they're going to say, hallelujah, this is the best part of it. I got to stay and see what is going on here because this, I just love it so much. They're not like, are you a fan of Christ? If you're a fan of Christ, when we get ready to give the invitation or we have a call to altar, you don't jump out and run out the back doors hoping you get to the buffet before the other Baptists too. We have to sit there. We need to realize that. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say he was happy when he got there. He said, I was happy when they said, let's go to Cooper Baptist Church this morning. Hallelujah. Let's have a great time. A real fan of Jesus is like that. I was glad when they said, I'm going to church this morning. But some of you, you fuss and fight in your cars all the way up here. All the way up into the parking lot. You're fussing with one another.
And you pull up into that parking lot and you say, oh my God, there's that old weirdo. I don't like him. Oh look, there's that little clique over there, those people. Look what they're doing. You look and say, oh my God, here comes those greeters. Come on, Ethel, give me that hand sanitizer quick. My God, people, what's wrong with you? You're going to have to spend all eternity with us. And let me tell you what. I'm coming to your mansion every morning. And I'm going to shake your hand. And I'm probably going to shout in your living room. So get used to it. Bro, that's what God's fans are like. Next thing we want to do is find out that sports fans, they endure all kinds of weather. Oh, me or hey, man. You know, one of the most famous games ever played was the Ice Bowl. Some of you in here remember that. Dallas and Green Bay, where the temperature hovered between 13 and 20 degrees all day long. And there was people out there in that fan, out there in them stands that were sitting out there and it was freezing and some of them, the old beards, is nothing but icicles hanging. If it needed to shave them, just go break it off. It was so cold, you know. But they endure all kinds of weather. But let us get up this morning and look and a little dew falls out the house. A little cloudy. Say, oh, you know. This old hangnail I got, I just don't think I want to go this morning. Because I don't feel real good. So I don't think that we even need to go this morning. But if you was going to the ball game and it was coming that rain or that snow, you'd go get your coat. You'd go get your raincoat. You'd get that little silly cap of whatever kind you wear and probably get a little flag that goes along to it. And you'd go sit out there on those bleachers. Brother, and it would just be pouring down. But you would say, oh, I love it. I love it being here. But we come to church and if it rains a little or something, then we come to church. Let me tell you, man, we offer you padded cushions. There ain't going to be no rain or no sleet or nothing else that is going to come down and get on you while you're in here. We give you air conditioning in the summer. We give you heat in the winter. But yet, we still see coming and say, oh, it's too cold in there. Oh, it's too cold in there. Oh, it's too hot in there. Well, maybe you ought to move a little bit, my friend. Move a little bit. Get the blood of Jesus flowing in you. Hey, I'm about to sweat right now. Get the blood of Jesus flowing within you. And get over all this. Oh, I can't stand it. You don't need to do that. And besides that, that old song director, he makes us stand too long and I'm hurting. But brother, give it to Jesus. He can take that hurt away. He knows how to get rid of it. You know, I can understand why some, if I was in the First Baptist Church of the Frigidaire, I'd freeze up too. You know, look over at that person there next to you, right? That one that looks like rigor mortis has set in on him. Tell him, move, brother. Say something. Clap your hands. Lift it up. Let's do something and let's get you alive on here. Real fans wants the best seat in the house. You go to a baseball game, you want to get behind home plate. Every time that umpire says ball, you say, what's wrong? You blind? Put on your glasses. And here you are 40 feet behind him trying to call it. If you go to that football game, you want to sit somewhere around the 50-yard line, up around 20, 25 seats high, brother, where you can see everything that's going on. If you had a basketball game, you want to be center court. If you're watching golf, someone golfing, you want to be where the tee is, man. You want the best seats there is in the house. But what do? Christians ought to want the front seats. You know, I remember there used to be a time that the only people sat on the front seats was the ones that come late. You know, because everybody else had everything else in the back. To be a real fan of Christ, you ought to come up front to where the spout is, my friend. Get under it where the glory comes out. Get off the bank and get into the water. You want the best seat. You want the seat that you're going to be able to praise God. Real fans don't miss church. Thank God. You know, I thank God for all these young families that I see in our church and these young kids and all. I praise God for y'all and I thank God for y'all for bringing these kids and these children to know this is where they need to be. They need to be into this church, man. They need to know not to miss it. Just because I get up and my eyes cross, I can't go, no. And let me tell you something else while I'm on this. It's always a pet peeve of mine. That person back there with that young child, that baby, and it goes to crying or messing up. Don't turn around and look like, hey, they know that baby's crying and messing up. They don't need you to tell them. They embarrassed enough the way it is. So don't add no fuel to the fire on. They're going to take care of it. But we want the best seats in the house. You know, the Green Bay Packers is the only team in pro sports that is not a corporation. Green Bay is owned by the city of Green Bay. And if you want to get a ticket, a season ticket for the Green Bay Packers, you're going to have to get in line with about 10,000 people in front of you. And since 1986, they haven't filled but six of those seats. They go all kinds of weather, never miss. Wouldn't it be great? I think I heard Brother Edgar tell us the other day that he could go down to the convention and say, I'm Edgar Evans and I'm the pastor of a 700-member church. Where are they? And I know he's right on the books, that's what it says. But where are they? Well, I don't know. That old preacher, if he'd get out to more. Hey, that's not the preacher's job, my friend. That's your job. That's your job and my job to bring them here to God's house. Then it's his job to put that seed onto them and bring them to know the Lord. Tell them about Jesus. But, you know, real fans don't miss. Now tighten your seats. Real fans pay. I didn't hear no amen on that one. Real fans pay. And I don't know if you've been to a game, college, pro, whatever you want to talk about it, anytime lately. But I'm going to tell you, brother, it's not cheap. And them tickets go up every year, year in and year out. They go up and say, that's all right. Give me them tickets, man. You walk into the park and you say, give me a hot dog. They say, that's okay. That's $47.50. Oh, well, throw me in a Coke and some peanuts. Good, that's another $25. Okay. God asked for 10%. That's all. 10%. You know, is it not kind of ironic that we are told today in our society and all that if we go and we have a waitress that does us good or treats us right or what, that we ought to leave somewhere between 15 and 20% for them, and which I think is right. You know, I do that. I think it's right because some of them has a hard job. Even those that ain't no good, I still leave them something, you know. But those that work hard and try to feed you and your family and keep over there with you, they do. They deserve that. And we need to give them that. But all God asks is 10%. Real fans pay. I don't give my tithe because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell, because it don't have nothing to do with it. I wouldn't ask you to do nothing I wouldn't do. I don't give my tithe so that other people can say, "Ooh, looky there how much he gives. He gives this and he gives that." That has nothing to do with it. I give my tithe because I love the local church. I love the world church. I love the nation of God. I love to see souls get saved for Jesus. I love to see families get healed, lives restored, and all brought about, and it costs to do that. That's why I give it, my friend, not for any other reason. Real fans pay. You think you're going to walk up to the game and say, "Hey, I'm a fan, let me in"? Nope. You're going to pay. And boy, we shell it out. Yeah, man. And we're glad to be there. You know, we don't sit out there and say, "Hey, look at all them old football players down there, this and that." Say, "Hey, look, I got a ticket, man. I got me a seat. Praise God, I hope we go into overtime today." I done been told not to go into overtime, though. I want y'all to know that. The last thing I want to tell you, real fans are vocal. The scripture said, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout, clap you hands, all you Pentecostals." Some of you say, "Yeah, brother, you ain't, are you reading what's in there? I ain't in there." It said, "Clap you hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph." You know, this is another sermon. I'm going to throw it in for free for you for just a minute. You know, we kind of got off the mark, and I believe Brother Edgar would probably agree with me on this. Somewhere back then, I'm not saying us, I'm saying all of us, we kind of got to the mark between Baptist and Pentecostal, you know. The Baptists got to where all they could preach was the cross. Nothing but the cross, the cross, the cross, and they forgot about the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostals got to where all they could preach was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this and that, and they forgot about the cross. You can't do it. You've got to have the cross with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we get gathered up with other Christians of other faiths, and we come around away from it like we got a disease on us. It's not, my friend. We need to come away with glory. But I won't tell you, if their basic doctrine and the only doctrine that counts is that Jesus died for me on that cross, and only through Christ Jesus can I be saved and will go to heaven, is what they're teaching, then hallelujah for them, brother. I pray for them every day. And we should too. Ted Turner is the biggest landowner in all of America. He owns some 600,000 acres across America. He has one ranch in the West that he raises nothing but bison, buffalo. He has the biggest herd of buffalo in the entire world. And the price of them keep going up. He has got in his trophy room the coveted America's Cup trophy, where his yacht was raced and won the America Cup. He owned, one time, the Atlanta Braves, CNN, and many others. But do you know, the Bible says to us that those have received their reward.
Now, I'm not saying Ted Turner or Bill Gates ain't saved. I don't know that. Now, I'm just throwing out those names because they're something everybody knows. I hope to God they are saved. I hope to God they're leading other people to Christ, everything else. But what it is saying, those that are here on earth that has been able to get all that they could and paid anything, no money or nothing was a problem like that, one day we're going to have to stand before God. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now that I promise you ain't never heard another preacher tell you. Do you know everybody's going to heaven? But everybody ain't going to stay. We are all going before that great white throne judgment. And they're going to be up there, and this is where the robes and the crowns are going to be passed out, that we are going to come lay at the feet of Jesus. And there's going to be those up there like Ted Turner, Bill Gates, or others around, know that they're going to sit back with all they've ever accumulated, knowing never had nothing in the world. They're going to sit back and they're going to say, I wish I could get one of those robes and one of those crowns. But they're going to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. Real fans are vocal. And I'm fixing the clothes, so don't get too crazy here. It says when Joshua and Moses come down off the mountain and brought down the tablet, it says that the people of Israel shouted with mastery. When the Ark of the Covenant was given back to the people of Israel, it said they were shouting powerfully, and it was so powerful that the Philistines heard them over there, and they were afraid. They feared because of the power. Joshua walked them around Jericho 7 times, and they stopped, and they shouted, and the walls come tumbling down. Yes, my friend, to be a fan, you've got to be vocal. And I want to ask you right now, this morning, are you a fan? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Roland and the musicians, come forward. No one looking around. Now, let me tell you a little something right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't even get in the ballpark. And I can tell you, I feel it this morning. There's some in here right now that has not had that experience. You don't know Jesus. Oh, well, I joined the church. Hey, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you know Jesus. Have you let Jesus live your life? Those of us as Christians, are we been a fan? Or have we just been spectators? Are we ready to come back and say, preacher, I want to be a fan of Jesus? I want to be able to do more and help do more and more and bring people to know Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, my friend, you and your family, or you or whatever, if you're looking for a church home, you can't find a better one than right here at Cooper Church. I promise you that. So wherever you might be, and think about it right now, when they begin to sing, that first chord that comes out, and when you stand up out there and you get the lockjaw out of you and sing with them, you step out and you come right now.